The last couple of nights, I've been preaching basically a series. I didn't know it was going to be a series. I've had to change the name of the first message. This is my second time now. You might say third time, seeing as the first one. But I started out calling it Our Personal Responsibilities, and I talked about the church as a church, with each individual member of that church and the responsibilities we have as a church to go out of these walls, to get out of our homes, and to take the gospel to the people around us. We have a responsibility to go to the uttermost. And if God hasn't called us, then we must send. And so there's a lot of responsibilities. If you were not here, pray that you'll go onto YouTube or onto Sermon Audio and listen to the message from Monday night. And then last night, I preached on the partnership responsibilities and how as we partner with missionaries, we have responsibilities as a church in that partnership. Most churches today do not take that partnership seriously. They think just throwing a couple bucks at a missionary, they'll put a prayer letter on the wall, and we're doing our part to reach the world. They don't read the missionary letters. They never raise the amount of support they give. I have actually been in churches that are still supporting missionaries at what would have been the common amount back in the 80s, $50 a month. But it goes well beyond the money. It goes well beyond that. There are so many responsibilities, and if you were not here last night, I pray that you will go and watch the video or listen to that on Sermon Audio as well. Now, I've changed the title of the first message because God's worked in my heart today that shouldn't have been the title. The title should have been The Public Responsibilities of Missions. Because when, as a church, we're not doing this in private. This is supposed to be outside the walls of this church. This is supposed to be going. It's a public thing. And so because of that, I took that title and God showed me that was supposed to be on tonight's message, Our Personal Responsibility. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, we're going to read verse 1 through 7. For as touching the ministering to the saints, it is superfluous for me to write to you. For I know the forwardness of your mind, for which I boast of you to them of Macedonia, that Achaia was ready a year ago, and your zeal hath provoked very many. Yet have I sent the brethren, lest our boasting of you should be in vain in this behalf, that, as I said, ye may be ready. Lest haply, if they of Macedonia come with me and find you unprepared, we, that we say not ye, should be ashamed in this same confident boasting. Therefore I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren that they would go before unto you and make up beforehand your bounty, whereof ye had noticed before that the same might be ready, as a matter of bounty and not as of covetousness. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Father, we pray, help us today, Lord. God, it's been, Lord, very maddening the last hour or so, Lord, trying to get that video even to be able to be viewed. And Lord, I thank you that you were able to get that done. Lord, I pray that you'll please work in our hearts through what we have seen in it. Lord, I pray that, God, you would work in this message and that you would speak to us tonight. Lord, might we be faithful to the duties you've given us. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. Our personal responsibilities. As I thought about the responsibilities that we've already gone over, I was asking the Lord, there's something else here that I'm missing. what is another set of responsibilities that we're supposed to talk about tonight. And that's the personal responsibilities. When we think of working together as a church, I said it Monday night that sometimes some people have this attitude of, yes, I'm a member of the church, but that's not my part of being the member, is this thing or that thing or this thing or whatever. Not even just missions. I use the example of, they say, well, I'm just an ear. I'm not the foot, so I can't go. I'm not the hand, so I can't give. No, but it's the body. And the body goes where the body goes. Therefore, the ear goes where the foot takes it. And the ear is hearing what the hand is putting out. Amen? And so we're all to be a part of this. Everything we do as a church, it should be together. When we're not together in this work of the ministry, then we are not functioning as a whole body. We are not functioning as a healthy body. We're functioning very, can we say, dysfunctional. Amen? My dad was a one-arm preacher, amen? People called him the one-arm paper hanger, and he did a little bit of that too. But he would tell you that he had grown used to not using that arm. He got used to doing things without the second arm. But he always said it would have been a whole lot easier to have the second arm. You know, it's really easy as a church that we get used to doing things without certain aspects or certain persons of our body. But it's not the way it was meant to be. But in that, there are personal responsibilities that each individual person in this church has to do for us to be able to accomplish the Great Commission. Monday night, we talked about as a church those aspects that even some are personal of the going and so forth. But so we're not going to discuss them tonight, but really tonight, the personal responsibilities when it comes to supporting missionaries. Because again, if you're not called to go to a certain field to minister and take the gospel, then we have got to send somebody. Because it is our responsibility, church. It is our responsibility. It's not the responsibility of all the churches. It's our responsibility to reach the entire world. Now, thank God for other churches that are trying to do that same responsibility as they see it their responsibility, and that we can then join with to work together to get to the end goal of reaching the world with the gospel. Because we right now only have two men that have been sent from this church to do a work. Brother Terry Danford has just been in evangelism. Now we're sending him to Kansas to continue the church planting effort there. Brother Greg Wilson, church planting in Kentucky and Tennessee. That's it. As I said, we've got three men that are called to preach, and Lord willing, one day we'll lay hands on them and send them into the work God has called them to do. But until God shows them where, when, and what, those are the only two. We cannot sit around waiting for them to know God's will, because sometimes God takes a while. It took 7 years before God showed me exactly what He wanted me to do in the ministry. We can't wait for more men to get saved and called. Because what if the Lord comes back today? If we're just waiting around for what we can send out of our church, we're never going to get it done. And so we must cooperate with other churches that are seeking the same end goal. And thank God for churches that are sending out qualified men and their families to do the work of God, and that we can then join with them and partner with them to take the gospel on our behalf. On our behalf. I hope that's sinking in. It's on our behalf. The Schraders and the Mears are in Zambia because you and I should be, but God has not called us, but somebody's got to be there. And so we got to get somebody there. But as I said last night, we don't even have a missionary on every continent on this globe. And so we're slacking. And we need to pray and ask God to help us that we can at least get one on every continent. We have 33 missionaries that we support. One of those 33 is a widow. We continue to support her as a widow. I believe that's right and honorable. But she is not able to do the work of church planting. That's not her place. She is busy taking care of a child with special needs to keep her and her daughter alive in a war in Israel. But there are things that you and I can do, should do, and really to do to help these missionaries we already support and to be able to take on more so that we can really get the world the gospel like we have been told to do. And folks, we can look around we can look around and say, but we're so few. Little is much when God is in it. Church in Colorado, there was my family and Grandma Trudy, and at that time, for a large part of that time, the boys weren't even old enough to work jobs yet. When they did, they started giving to missions, but for the most part, it was me and my mom and Grandma Trudy giving to missions in that church. And in that church of just really three giving families, we supported 35 missionaries when we left there at $75 a month. Now, that's not glory to us. That's glory to God. Because every month, I'd look at that and say, how are we doing this? How are we doing this? Every year, as we would have our missions conferences, and I would look at what we had done the year before and what was promised for the next year, I'd say, how? How? I said it last night, Grandma Trudy, every year would say, Pastor, I don't know how I can do any more than I'm doing already. And I would say, just pray and ask God, then trust Him, Grandma Trudy. And she would. And at the end of every year, as we held our next missions conference, she would testify about how God had met every need that year and how her end of the month budget was far better than it was before she started giving to missions. It's by faith that we do this. So it's not about how big or how small our church is. It's about how much faith we're going to have in God. It's about how much faith we're going to have in God. And in that, how much faith we're going to have in God, it's how many of the few are going to join in that effort of faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. And if we know to do right, and we don't do it, what does the Bible say? To Him it is sin. And so my challenge to us is to, by faith, get involved. If you've been involved already, by faith, seek God's will if He would have you to go further. I've always said it. I'm not here to tell you what you're supposed to give. That's between you and God. When you do your card Sunday, you don't put your name on that. I don't know who gave what promise. The only reason we do the cards at all is so we can try to be smart and budget what we're going to do for missions. Even in that, though, we can't always go by that because either somebody gets mad and they leave, or somebody decides to stop giving, or God tells us to take on missionaries above and beyond what we were promised. Amen. And so we go by faith. We need to work together. And there are just two personal responsibilities that I want us to see tonight, that each and every member of this church, and listen, children, that includes you if you're a saved, baptized member of this church, because you can do these two things too. First and foremost, we see in verse 1 that he says, "For as touching the ministering to the saints." I want us to understand that these two things we're about to talk about are ministering. You are ministering when you do these. You are ministering to the saints. Who are the saints he's talking about? It is the missionary. And as I said last night, please do not ever let me hear anybody call a missionary a moochinary, because I will call you down right there. They are saints of God. I believe they are choice saints of God. Most of them, I know there are a few that tend to get a rotten apple in every bunch. Amen. But by large, they are God's choice saints. And we ought to honor them as such. But we are ministering to them in these things. And so in that, I want us to see that we need to minister, first of all, in supplications. Now, I know that in our text here, it does not necessarily have anything to do with praying. Doesn't say anything about praying. Last night, we already saw where we are to pray for our missionaries. Paul said, "Brethren, pray for us." Who was the us? It was the whole team. So that team, most of our missionaries, we would say their team is their family, though we really need to get back to the true team efforts, amen? Because that wife and those children are most of the time having to do what every wife and children does. They're teaching their children, they're keeping home, they're not able to do everything that another man as a team would be able to do. But then you have the Schraders and the Mears are working as a team. That's why I think it's very important to support both members of the team, both families. Most churches won't do that. Most churches will say, if there's a team effort, we'll support either one of the team or we'll support a amount for the whole team and you split it up however you want. And normally that amount's going to be what they support an individual missionary. It's a sad case today, folks. But we are to support our missionaries and minister to our missionaries in prayer. Brethren, pray for us. We talked last night about the aspects of that praying, the areas that we need to be praying for them. We're not going to go over that again. But I want to give you three things about ministering in supplications that I feel is very important. If you and I are going to earnestly and fervently pray for our missionaries, and you can use this for any group of people, whether it be the church members, whether it be other people, it doesn't matter. All three of these work in the same, but we're talking about missionaries tonight. Minister in supplications by being a comrade. A comrade. Now, what is a comrade? A comrade is not just a friend. A comrade is not just an acquaintance. A comrade is somebody who works together with you. Often we think of the word comrade, and of course we think Russians, amen? Russians like the word comrade, but in that, what do they often use that word comrade for? It's to mean that we are in the same boat. We are in the same business. We are together in this. We are one. Now, we're not communists. But there needs to be a singleness in the efforts of us and our missionaries in getting the gospel to the field they're in. We need to be comrades with them. How do we become comrades with our missionaries? Well, the best way is to get to know them. To get to know them. I hate, you know, I said last night and I saw Sister Denise was like... I've heard of a church recently, I think it was Brother Schrader that told me about it, that any missionary they're going to take on for support prior to that missionary coming, they've already searched out their doctrine, they've already searched out their past. They have done their work in getting to know who this missionary is, what he believes, and what he's about. But when they say, "We want you to come and present to our church. We want our church to get to know you. They have the stipulation that they must book out 1 month of time for them to stay with that church. Now, while they're with that church, they take care of all their needs. They give them regular weekly love offerings to help with whatever bills they have that, you know, that they would normally get a love offering while they're on the road. But when they take them on for support, they support them at, I think, $1,000 a month is what he said. And they're serious about it. But at the reason they want that month is because they say, if we're going to take you on, and especially if we're going to take you on for this month, we want to know who you are. We want you to be like one of us. We know you're not a member of our church, but we want to feel like you're one of us. We want to know you and your family. We want to be very close to you so that we can pray for you properly. Now, I try as much as I can to at least get them here for a whole Sunday. Amen. Sometimes it doesn't work out, but I try to get at least a Sunday, if not to get them here for a few days where they can be around and at least my family fellowshipping. And if any of you ever, you know, Brother Bailey's coming in Thursday and he's, I think, leaving Monday, maybe Tuesday. Anytime during that time, if you want to say, hey, Brother Pastor, I want to have Brother Bailey over to our house to feed him a meal so we can get to know him better, or we want to take him out to eat or whatever, that's fine with me. I don't hog him, amen. I know him very well. I've known him for many years. So it'd be good for you to get to know him. But you got to get to know the missionaries. Here's how most independent Baptist church members know their missionaries. They saw them when they came. They heard them preach. They put a prayer card somewhere. And they never think about them again. I have talked to missionaries who have gone into churches that have supported them for many years, and when they walked in, not one person even knew who they were. You tell me that's effectively reaching the world with the gospel. We can throw all the money in the world at our missionaries, folks, but if we are not in this with them, it doesn't mean anything. Because it's prayer that's really going to be the deciding factor. I've been in churches where, when I was on as a missionary, where I, every year, it seems about every year, maybe every 2 years, as we had a new child, amen, I would get a new family picture, and I would send that out to all of our supporting churches. I sent out a monthly prayer letter for many years and went to a bi-monthly prayer letter. And there were churches that I went to, I would walk in, and on the wall would be a prayer letter from a year ago, and the picture from 3 children ago. That really makes a missionary feel like they're in this with me. So you might wonder why I do some things that I do, or why I'm so adamant about some of the things I do. Having been a missionary's kid, having been a missionary, and having talked to many missionaries, it irks me that they're considered like sometimes subhuman. I said last night, go to preacher's fellowships and you'd have the pastor say, can I have all the preachers and the missionaries stand up? I'm not a preacher too. That's why we read the prayer letters 2 a week. That's why I encourage you to take those prayer letters and get their email addresses, their phone numbers, and communicate with our missionaries. Write them cards. Yes, we do a card ministry where we send them cards for their birthdays and anniversaries from the church, but how better would it be if there was a more personalized, I mean, we try to get it as personal as possible, man. One of the shredders, I can't remember who, got a letter from John. When we did all the cards as a church, we had each person Okay, you write one to this missionary, you write one to this missionary, and that's how we did their birthdays and anniversaries. And I can't remember who it was that John did the card for, but they, when we were there in Zambia, they said, would you please tell John thank you so much? That was such a blessing, how personal it was. Because it was one individual writing to a specific person. Folks, we need to realize that most churches don't even communicate with their missionaries. They don't. When I was in Colorado, we were there for 7 years. In that 7 years, besides my pastor, who of course communicated with me often, besides my pastor, I had three preachers communicate with me in 7 years. One to let me know, and he was in tears when he did it. He was a good friend of mine. I knew he did not want to do it, but he had to call and let me know they had to drop me from support because their church was hurting financially. But I was thankful he called to let me know because I had many churches that just dropped us and never told us even. I'd give it 3 months. Oh, something's going on. And then I'd call the pastor and say, hey, pastor, is everything okay? Something we can pray about? Have I done anything to offend you? Oh, no, brother, we just decided that we're going to move our money on to another missionary. Well, thanks for letting me know. So he called to let me know that. Thankful he did. I had one preacher call, and this man is the same preacher that he was preaching the night I surrendered to preach. He's been in evangelism. He was a pastor at the time. Now he's in evangelism again. Brother Doug Thompson. Brother Doug Thompson is the only preacher besides my pastor that ever called me to actually encourage me in the ministry. And then I had a third pastor. He called me the most besides my home pastor. But every time he called, it was to criticize something I had tried to do to get the gospel out to people. I could have told you that one at work. I don't know why you would do that anyways. Your pastor know about that. I so badly wanted to tell him, keep your support and don't ever call me again. My pastor would tell him, Brother Mike, you just be humble. But that is the usual. That is the usual. And listen, this guy was... I've known many guys that were supported by that same man. That's the same exact report from every single one. If they hear from him, it's criticism. So you got, out of three preachers in 7 years, you're not getting any more support from us. And again, he was heartbroken over it. He certainly did not want to do that. But that was one of the calls. One, to let you know that he's praying for you and try to give you some advice and to you and encourage you, and then one to criticize you often. That's what most missionaries face. I already told you about how when we were on the flight, I thought about putting in the video, but I decided not to. But we met another missionary we used to support when we were in Colorado. He is in South Africa. He was on the plane leaving New York, going to Africa. And at first I was like, ain't no way that's him. But finally, after about 3 hours left in the flight, I finally worked up the guts to say, hey, are you this guy? And yeah, I am. And we had good fellowship for 3 hours. Amen. But as we sat and talked, he had a preacher just recently contact him who really had never contacted him before, to let him know that they were dropping him from support because he wasn't planting enough churches. Now that man's been there for, I'd say, 15 years or more. He's planted two churches that are already under native pastors and doing very well. He's got a third church. He told me I've got a man who's pretty much ready. I could give it to him and have a third church plant, but I just don't feel God is telling me it's time yet. But here's some guy in the States who's probably never done anything of his own, probably took a church somebody else started and built up for him, criticizing this missionary and dropping their support because you're not doing enough church planting. How sad. How sad. Most of these missionaries, nobody comes to visit them. The Schraders, it seemed like they've been having a lot of people here recently, but besides their pastor, I'm the only supporting pastor in 10 years that's ever come to visit them. Brother Kuzel, there in South Africa, most of the preachers have come to visit him, and I'm not saying this to criticize him, but he invited them to come to preach at specific things that he was doing. I don't know how many have actually just come on their own just to come. But most missionaries, you talk to them, and very few of them have anybody that comes and visits them. I literally, and I love the brother who said this to me. I love him. He's a good brother. But I had a brother criticize me for taking this mission trip. Another preacher. When I tell him, well, the Bible says, that mine eye affecteth my heart. He said, brother, listen to what it says. Mine eye affecteth my heart. That was the prophet saying it was his eye. I said, yeah, but we can take the application. Our eye will affect our heart too. He said, well, brother, you need to let your eye affect your heart for your where you're ministering at, not where other people are ministering. But you know, I saw the importance of doing this while we were there. Because it's not just about letting mine eye affect mine heart. But it's about getting to know those missionaries better. And it's about becoming a comrade with them. Now again, maybe you will, maybe you won't go on a mission trip. But there's so many ways to communicate with them today. So be communicating. Be a comrade, be communicating. Most of the missionaries nowadays are using WhatsApp. Because in most of these countries, as long as they have a Wi-Fi signal of some sort, they can make phone calls throughout the country, they can make phone calls overseas, and everything, and it's free. I was telling them last night, in Zambia, everybody, natives, everybody uses WhatsApp. That's the main form of communication in Zambia. So you want to get to know the Schraders, the Mears? Get a WhatsApp. Get their phone number. Off their prayer letters and text them, call them. Ladies, don't text them in. Amen. If you have your husband, text their husband and ask for their wife's phone number. They'll readily give it, and you can text and call and chat with them. Amen. Children, you can readily do this communicating with the missionaries' children. Pearl, she's been almost daily, it seems like sometimes, talks with Alethea. I know that Levi has often talked with Enoch and such, so that's a blessing right there. You know, we need to understand that communication is how we're going to become a comrade. By getting to know them, by getting to know who they are, what they're going through, what are the things that are different in your life as a missionary. Because as I said last night, they have all the same needs and all the same problems you and I have. I mean, everything. There are some that are hurting financially. There are some that are hurting physically. There are some that are hurting mentally. There are some that are hurting spiritually. They have all the same needs there. But then they have other things that are added to them by living in other countries and the stresses of the ministry. Paul talked about how the care of the churches, how that was such a burden on him. And so the only way you know about that is by communicating. And the monthly or bi-monthly or quarterly prayer letter that they send, there's not enough space to put everything to get to know them. That's just a little burp of their life. So thankful for it, and we need to read them. But if you seriously want to be a partner with your missionary and you want to minister to them in supplications, you need to be Become a comrade by communicating with them. And then you need to be a comrade by caring. Because you're not going to communicate if you don't care. You need to care for them as brothers and sisters in the Lord. You know, we've got missionaries that often put in their prayer letter, or I don't know if it's actually in the prayer letter many times, but when they email me the prayer letter, in their email, they say, if there's anything we can be praying for you and your church, Pastor, please let us know. You know, they want to pray for us too. But how can they effectively pray for us if we've not communicated with them? Well, we're not going to communicate unless we care. You got to care by again, that they're brothers and sisters in the Lord. You need to care about them that they are people. That they are people. Think about those children. Okay? Now, don't think those poor kids, because I tried to help those kids over there, both the Schraders and the Lewis family that was there at the same time. I tried to help them, giving testimony of me being a missionary's kid, about not letting yourself get to where you think you're missing out on things. I had this whole idea that I was missing out on what American teenagers are doing. And I totally did not have in sight that I got to do things American teenagers dreamed about doing. I lived in Europe. I got to travel around Europe, see all the castles, see the Alps and all these things. I got to do that as a teenager. Most people never get to do that stuff. But I didn't think about it that way. All I could think about was what I was missing out, what I thought I was missing out on. And so I tried to encourage them in that. And so in that, you need to realize some of these children of missionaries, they're probably having some of those same thoughts. They're probably thinking, man, I never get to see my grandparents. I never get to be with my friends in the States. I never get to do this. I never get to do that. And they have lost the focus of everything they do get to do. And so maybe you could encourage them. But you got to care about them first. You know, when we got there, the night we got there, it was late. We'd been, of course, like I was saying, flying for 26 hours, and I was tired. But I, as having been a missionary's kid, I was also so very excited to be able to bring some things to our missionaries. And thank you, church, for sacrificing and buying those things. When we got in the house, they said, look, Brother Thornsley, the kids made some ice cream. They want you to have a bowl of ice cream. We know that you're tired. We're not going to stay up all night fellowshipping. We just want you to have a bowl of ice cream. Then we're going to go take you over to the house so you can get in bed. I said, no. We got to do one other thing. Get the suitcases. Bring them in here quick. We popped them things open and pulled out the peanut butter, pulled out the chocolates and the marshmallows, pulled out the different spices that they had requested, and the kids especially went nuts. I wish I could have caught it. I was too busy handing it. You know, kids, sometimes you think you got it hard. But you know, you can have your parents go down and pretty much any time you need it, then go down and buy your favorite peanut butter. They can't do that in most other countries. A lot of the things that you take for granted that, man, you get all the time, that they don't get that. Now, they'll get other things that I wish we could get here. Amen? Why was that? Cadbury? Caterpillars. Well, the Schraders are sending us some. We're going to make some for you all to try. Amen? Oh, They're not bad. They're really not. But you got to be caring. You got to be caring. If you don't care for them, you're not going to communicate, and you're not going to be a comrade, and you are not going to minister in supplications. You need to care about the people that they're ministering to as well, though. It's hard. I asked Brother Rob here recently. I gave him a prayer list with a bunch of scrubs to take off things. I said, some of this has been on here since before I became the pastor, and nobody knows who they are. Nobody. I've asked in the past, anybody that knows any of these people on this prayer list, give us an update. Do we need to keep them on here or not? You know, and we get a few of that. So that means a lot of them, nobody knows who they are. Don't know if they're an update. So we scrubbed it. Why? Because there's no sense in having a prayer list that all you're going to do is like, well, God, there's this person here that I guess they have a need. I don't know what it is. It's just in the general. But whatever the need is, Lord, go ahead and meet that need. That's not effectively praying. And what good is it to spend the time praying if we can't effectively pray? And so one of the things, we can't effectively pray for the people that they're ministering to if we've not met the people. I can tell you, since coming back from Zambia, I've been able to a lot more effectively pray for people in Zambia. The people that actually came to the church there. I actually have their names, a little short history about them, if they're saved or not saved, so that I can even more effectively pray for them individually. I liked how Brother Ballinger gave us pictures of the people, because at least you then have a face to put with a name. That's at least a small step in the right direction. And if you don't have one of those, we still got three more on the bulletin board in there. I keep mine right here in my Bible. Ollie. I pray for him often. When I open up that front cover and I see him there, I remember to pray for him again, and I pray for Ollie. Then I pray for the other guys in the picture that I don't know who their name is. Amen. But the more you know them, the more you'll be able to pray for them. So we need to minister in supplications. Then secondly, lastly, minister in supplies. And this is really the majority of what chapter 9 is talking about. Paul is exhorting the church at Corinth to be ready to give. He says, I know you were ready even a year ago. And that's where we get the understanding of making a commitment for a year out. This year, this is what God's led me to do, whether it's a monthly commitment, a weekly commitment, or even a one-time commitment for the whole year. But this is what God has led me to do. But He tells them there to be ready. To be ready, because we're going to send some people to make sure you're ready, because we don't want to be embarrassed, and I know you don't want to be embarrassed that when we come and you're not ready. Because that's just what? That's just human nature sometimes. But we are commanded to minister in supplies. There are three things about this ministry. We need to pray for God's will. As we said, this is faith promise missions giving. So it's not what I want to give. It's not taking the checkbook and seeing what the bottom line is and okay, I can pull out this much. It's asking God, what do you want me to give? And yes, the longer you do that, the more it gets, Lord, are you sure? But at the same time, He already met all the needs the year before. But He's trying to increase our faith. And so He says, here, do a little more. You're like, I don't know, Lord, just do it. Okay, Lord. And by faith, you do it. And God meets your needs. God takes care of you. We talked about the verse there in Philippians about God meeting your needs. The context is in missions giving. The context is not tithing, because that already belongs to God. It's not even giving special offerings. The context of that verse is missions. If you give to missions, God says, I will supply your need. So we can take the opposite. If we don't give to missions, we don't have that promise. Amen. It's up to us. But we need to pray for God's will. And that again, it can be hard sometimes. Because in our human nature, we want to look at the bottom line in the checkbook. Now, I want to say, when you pray for God's will, then you need to perform no matter what God's will is. So if God tells you to give X amount of dollars every week, and you say, okay, God, and you fill out that card, and you say, I'm going to give X amount of dollars every week, and you put the card in Sunday, and you promise that, remember, it's not a promise to the church, it's a promise to God. And then you don't do that, you have just broken your oath to God. And God, in the Old Testament, says it's better not to give an oath than to give an oath and not keep it. Because God looks very serious at the oaths. In that, I've said it before, I've only known one time. I'm sure there's others out there, but I have never heard it anywhere else but the one time. But God normally takes people forward. If I gave $100 a month this month, God a lot of times is going to say, hey, I want you to give $115 a month this year. But there are times that God might say, I want you to give less. Because God knows the future. I've only known that one time personally, not myself, but my dad. In a missions conference, the very missions conference he surrendered to preach in, he felt God wanted him to give a certain amount. God kept telling him a certain number. God was putting a certain number on his heart. And my dad kept saying, well, that's way below what I'm giving right now, so that must be how much extra God wants me to give. So when he promised what he had been giving plus that amount. Well, then he surrenders to preach, and God has him sell his business that he had been making very good money on. Sold his business, and we moved to Missouri to go to Bible college with a vehicle God wouldn't let him sell because he bought it out of the will of God. And so we had a car payment that took half of his retirement check to pay for. Going to college full time, trying not to have to work a job. He'd work odd jobs here and there when he could, but it was tight. But he all of a sudden realized, God was trying to tell me that much because he knew I was going to be coming here and I wasn't going to be having the income I used to have. Now my dad gave every dollar he promised. He would rather us not have food in the house than renege on what he promised to. And like I said, there was twice we didn't have any food in the house. But you know, God, just like Philippians says, God met our need. Both times. Because my dad gave what God told him to do, even though it was costing him the ability to go buy groceries for his family. We'd come home from being out on visitation or at church or something, we come home, our house was a single wide trailer and the door lock didn't work on the front door. Amen? We'd come home, walk in, there'd be bags of groceries on the floor. My dad hadn't told anybody we needed help. First of all, he was too prideful for that at that time. Amen? But God met the need. So we need to understand that we need to pray for God's will, But we need to perform God's will. He talks to them here in chapter 9. And I'm not going back to verses and stuff because you know this chapter. You've read this chapter many times. You've heard it preached many times. But he's telling them in here, listen, you need to be prepared to give and you need to give what you have promised. Don't let us come finding you lacking. Why? Because that's going to embarrass the church who promised. That's going to embarrass the missionary who said, look at this church, they're always doing this. And all of a sudden they're not. Listen, that preacher that called me to tell me that they had to drop me from support. Again, he was a friend of mine. I knew him very well. He's bawling his eyes out. He was utterly embarrassed about it. Main reason is because some people in the church got a little miffed about something and just decided they were going to stop giving. How embarrassing. Not just to a pastor, but it should be embarrassing to the whole church when a church cannot fulfill the obligations that they have promised. Pray for God's will. Perform God's will. And then thirdly, prepare for God's future will. He says there in verse 5, though I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren that they would go before unto you and make up beforehand your bounty, whereof ye had noticed before that the same might be ready as a matter of bounty and not as of covetousness. As independent Baptists, in an independent Baptist church, that practices faith promise missions giving and has a yearly missions conference, we know every year this is coming, don't we? Every year we know it's in April, the same, almost always the same week. Even we moved it this time because of the solar eclipse and didn't know what was going to go on there. But almost every year, same week in April, we know it's coming. So why don't we just prepare for that? We've been praying, I pray that we've been praying, that Lord, what do you want me to give for this year? When we get that number and we pledge that number, what's so bad about starting right now and say, Lord, what would you have me give next year? And even setting aside to be able to have some extra. Again, you're not giving based on what you have set aside. You're going to give based on what God says to give. But is there anything that says that you can't put some aside so next year when God said do this, okay, I can do that and it's going to be a whole lot easier because I saved some money to do that this year. I mean, they made a choice to give something a year before, and they had all year to get ready to give it that year. Because unlike us today, where we can just take it down to the bank, put it in, write a check, mail it off to their home church, they take it to the bank, put it in, they got their money. You know, somebody had to take that to the missionary by foot. My pastor, just before services, I was wondering if God would have me use this tonight, but just before services, my pastor texted me with some things God's been working in his heart as he's been preaching out of the book of Philippians. Said that, I just recently thought to look at the distance between Philippi and Rome where the Philippians sent the gift to Paul. It was over an 800-mile journey that he took from Philippi just to help Paul, God's servant, God's work, or the gospel. They say it was a 6 to 8 week journey in those days. To go 800 miles. A 6 to 8 week journey. Why? Because most of it is on foot. So, I mean, think about that. It's not like they were sending monthly checks. They would gather up, and when God said take it, they would take it. And it was always on time. Paul talked about how I hadn't needed nothing. Why? Because God had you bring me what I needed. So listen. Think about, pray about, prepare for God's future will in giving and in praying. We all need to be praying. It shouldn't be just the pastor. We should all be praying about future missionaries we're going to take on. Lord, help us to be able to take on more missionaries. Guide us to the ones to take on. Help us to find those ones that you want us to partner with. As I said last night, partnership shouldn't be just a flippant thing of every missionary that walks through the door, they're a missionary, so we're taking them on. That's why most of the churches, they don't have a true partnership, because that's the way they look at it. We'll just throw them some money and we're good. But if we're really looking for a partnership, then we're going to be looking at their doctrine, we're going to be looking at their church they're being sent out, if they're being sent out by a church. We're going to look at a lot of things before we even start thinking about it. But one of those things we should be doing is praying. God, do you want us to partner with this missionary? As I said last night, when we've prayed about it, and God said, yes, I want you to partner with this missionary, then we cannot say, well, I wasted our money if that missionary ever goes bad. Because listen, they're human. They can go bad. But I've heard that many a time from preachers. Yeah, I wasted my money. You know, and I'm thinking, first of all, it's not your money, it's God's. We wasted that money. Not if you took a missionary on God told you to take on. Because God knew He was going to do that. And if God told us to take them on, then it's not a waste of money. We did what God told us to do. And that's the personal responsibilities. You and I are to minister to the missionaries. And notice what he says there. He which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. He which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Note that word bountifully. It means to sow in much rejoicing. It means to be a hilarious giver. Think about how he says there, every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Again, we often use that verse talking about tithes and offerings, but the context is missions giving. God loves a cheerful giver to missions. And that's one who is giving bountifully. I've said it before, I'll just say it real quick. Bountifully is not the amount of money you're giving. Bountifully is the amount of obedience that you're giving. Children, I said before, you all can do all these things. You can give to missions. Each one of you children. You can ask God, what should I give to missions? And God might tell you, you give a quarter a week. And you might think, that's not much in money. And some of you might think, that's a lot of money. It is for somebody who's a young child who don't have a job, don't have an income. 25 cents can be a lot of money. But can God supply that for you to give to missions? I mean, you can go to the store with mommy and God supply a quarter right there on the ground. There's your missions money for the week. God could supply it through a parent who doesn't know that you've promised 25 cents a week, but they say, you know what, you've done some good stuff this week. Here's a dollar. Woo, I got my 25 cents, plus I got 75 cents to spend on myself. Well, no you don't, because you got to give 10 cents that tithe. Amen. So 65 cents for yourself. Think about that. God can supply it through you. And He can supply it even though you don't have jobs and normal income. Adults, He can do the exact same thing for us. Did He not give money out of the fish's mouth? Could He not give us money in various ways? I mean, I've never had the stories of God giving me the money. Because I've always looked at it as, I promise this to God, therefore I give that. How my budgeting goes, tithe first, missions money second. and then bills, then groceries. I've never, some people say, well, you know, you just by faith wait for God to give it to you. God already gave it in your paycheck. He already gave it. Now, as we give it, and by faith, God's going to meet our need that we have now. And I've seen Him do that multiple times in my life. Multiple times. I've heard of other people. I've heard of wives. Didn't have an income. But they wanted to give the missions. So they asked God what, how much to give. And God put a number on their heart. They promised it. And God just various ways throughout the year would give them that amount of money. Various ways. Somebody would send them a card and there'd be their missions money in that card. They'd go down to the grocery store. They'd have so much money to buy groceries, and man, there's all these sales, and when they got done, the amount of money that they had to spend, what they saved, the savings was exactly what they needed to give their missions money. Oh, those are just stories. Well, they were real life experience for the person who it happened to. The problem is we going to have faith? See, it begins there. And so these are the personal responsibilities for every member of this church. Now it's up to you whether you keep your responsibility or not. But I will say, if we each individually do not keep our responsibility, then as a church we don't keep our responsibility. Now, I will say, some people will disagree with me on this, I want to just say this. I count husbands and wives as one person, because you're one flesh. Amen? Now, if you and your spouse want to say, no, we're going to give separately, and that's on you. But I look at spouses as one flesh, one person, only have to give one promise. Other people disagree with that, but that's the way the Bible shows it. That's the way I go with it. But the husband and the wife, we ought to be talking. Each should be praying and conversing about what we're going to do. Man, it's ultimately the husband's prerogative to say what he feels God's wanting him to give. But you can talk about it. Are we wanting to minister to our missionaries? Do we want to have that fellowship of ministering? Do we want to be able to say that I'm a comrade with my missionaries? I know them personally. They are my friends. I have conversed with them. I know their thoughts. I know their feelings. They've told me their fears. I know their background. I know their testimonies. I know where God brought them from. I know how God called them there. I know what's going on in the field because I'm talking to them constantly. And in that, I'm using all that information to be able to effectively minister to them in supplications. And then on our supplies, you know, God, I said it last night, God could feed the missionary with a raven. And He could give them the cash to pay for their visas through the mouth of a fish. God has designated today the church to do that. And that means every individual in that church. We signed a covenant. Might not physically signed it, but we all agreed to it. That said, we with this church and God and some certain things. One of those things is that we give to missions to help and be able to support the effort to reach the world. Are we going to join in with the ministering to our saints? Father, I pray that You'd help us tonight. Speak to every heart. I pray, God, give clearance and clarity. Lord, I pray that, God, each person would know Your will for them as an individual member. Lord, I pray that You'd meet the needs of our missionaries through our giving. Lord, I pray that You would help us not to just want to give and think that that's all we need to do, but God, to realize how important it is that we really be a comrade in this thing and effectively pray for them. Lord, they're going through things sometimes we have no clue about and have no understanding of. God, we need to lift them up before the throne of grace, and we need to be able to do it effectively. I pray, speak to our hearts now in Jesus' name. Amen.